Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 7, which is today's portion for us. Just I want to encourage you, all of you, from the word of God, that we need to meditate what God has done for us through His Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We gathered here from different languages and backgrounds, even though we are very different from each other, but we are one, we are united in Lord Jesus Christ, because God saved us. We are His family. So here Paul in Titus, he wants to encourage us to remember the amazing salvation of God so that we may act in this world properly, godly. That is chapter 3. So we can read Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. For we ourselves also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Verse 4, the key phrase, verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not by works which we did in righteousness, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we would become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. When we think about this passage, Paul wants to exalt the salvation of God. The amazing salvation of God. Even I want to encourage you that you need to remember forever and ever that God has done amazing work, that God saved you. That I need to remember, that you need to remember. We can see very clearly in this passage, verse 3, he is talking about past life. Verse 4, especially verse 5, he says, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. And he is explaining, this passage teaches us why God saved us. How did God save us? What is the purpose of saving us? And he talks about what is the means of salvation. All truth makes us to be amazed at His salvation. Especially when you see, you know, all the constructions are going on in Goa. When we see, you know, those buildings, amazing, right? So beautiful. When you taste beautiful food, right? Tasty food, delicious food. You say, amazing, so delightful. Then we praise, we honor those things, right? I'm not saying you don't say about those things. But what about your salvation? It is amazing salvation. You cannot compare with anything else. What a great salvation that God gave to us. Here we have, God willing, I will do part 1 and part 2. So today is part 1. So 4 truths that cause us to be amazed at His salvation. The first truth that causes us to be amazed at His salvation is the necessity of salvation. The necessity of salvation. Total depravity. Why you need salvation? Why you sinner, you need salvation? Why human beings needed salvation? Paul explains very clearly here. Verse 3. Paul explains the reason why God saved us. Why we need God's salvation. If you look at all these words and phrases in verse 3, you will see that they show total depravity. Total depravity is a doctrine that states that all men are born sinful and are incapable of choosing God on their own. They are not capable of doing what is good in the sight of God. Total depravity is, it is defining that no one is good. All are sinful. They cannot choose God. They cannot seek God. That is the condition of human beings. We know some verses. We know some verses. That Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Which says, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Human beings are dead. There is no life in them. That's what Bible is saying. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Who can understand it? No one can understand it. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is the situation, this is the condition of all human beings. Even Psalmist David says, Psalm 51 verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. It is talking about sinful nature of human beings. All of us were sinful by birth. All of us were sinners by nature, actions. All of us were in this condition, brothers and sisters. That is the reason why human being needs salvation. No one can say that I no need salvation. If anybody is saying I no need salvation, that person is self-righteous person. That person does not want Jesus, the Savior. But Paul is reminding us our past life, our situation, the total depravity. Here we have four things of our past life prove our total depravity and our need for salvation. The first thing of our past life proves our total depravity and our need for salvation is our irrational mind. Our irrational mind. Look at verse 3, which says, for we also once were foolish ourselves. Foolish means unintelligent, slow to understand, learn or think, senseless, thoughtless. This refers to intellectual and spiritual condition of people. Before becoming Christians, we were foolish in our minds or in our thoughts about God, about ourselves. Even Jesus says, Luke chapter 24, verse 25, he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that prophets have spoken. The word foolish is used to refer the men who do not believe in all things that scripture is saying about. So we have foolishness. Because of our foolishness, we are not able to understand the word of God. We are not able to believe the word of God. All of us were foolish, thoughtless about facts of God, the word of God. Men will not understand God, his will and his purposes. That is our condition. Even Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked in the haughtiness of his countenance does not seek him. Does not seek him. Sometimes people say that, I am coming to God. I am going to church. I am praying to him. No, no one cannot seek God. That is the condition of human beings. All his thoughts are, there is no God. There is no God. The Bible says that no one seeks God. All of us were once under this category. Even Paul was foolish in his thoughts about himself. Christ, until Christ met him, he was thoughtless, right? Christ gave him the Holy Spirit gave him the new birth, then he is able to understand his situation. I know Professor Nageswar Rao, who is intellectual person in all political and social analysis. He reviews and he warns even political leaders when they do wrong things, when they make wrong decisions. He will question them, he will ask them. He was standing for the truth in the society. He is a wise person, but even himself says that Jesus is one among all gods. Even though people, men and women, are so intellectual in this world, but they are not able to think according to the scripture. They won't understand who is God. That's why people are being called foolish. They may be smart in the world, but they are foolish because they are not understanding who God is. The second thing of our past life proves our total depravity and our need for salvation is our rebellious attitude. Look at verse 3. It says, disobedient. Disobedient is the one who will not be convinced to obey some authorities. The idea is we were not obedient to God's authority. We were disobeying him. That is our lifestyle. That is our nature. We are rebellious men and women. Even God called the people of Israel rebellious or disobedient. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 9 says, for this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instructions of the Lord. This is the same condition of ours, right? Even we refuse to listen to the law of God, which was written in our hearts as Gentiles. Our rebellious attitude is very clear. We are not obeying God. We are not obeying authorities, especially children, right? They are not obeying even parents. The authority is given from God itself, himself. Our rebellious attitude is very clear. The third thing of our past life is our unescapable bondage. Our unescapable bondage. Verse 3 part B, which says, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. Here we have two realities that prove our unescapable bondage in the past. The first reality is we were deceived by Satan. We were deceived by Satan. The deceived literally means to be led astray into error, sins. This is passive idea, passive voice. Because we were senseless, because we were foolish, Satan and his servants, false teachers, led us aside from the path of virtue. We were led away into error and sin by Satan. Satan made us to wander in errors and sin, which indicates deception. Satan is the father of lies and deception, right? He does. We were deceived by Satan and his servants. The another word is deception is misled. Misled. Have you taken auto rickshaw any time? In unknown city? I have taken a couple of times to write exam. I went here and there. But what happens if you take auto rickshaw? There was a meter, right? Based on meter, you need to pay. But from bus stand to railway station, hardly 1.5 kilometer. But this auto rickshaw wala takes me, how far? Almost 4 kilometers. He goes here and there and he does not take right path and he takes other routes so that he may gain more, right? Satan was doing same thing. He cannot go. He cannot lead right path. He leads another path. But remember, brothers and sisters, Satan is more dangerous than these drivers. They lead you to destiny after some time at least. After some time. But this Satan cannot lead you. Forever and ever, he is deceiving you. He is cheating you. He is misleading you. That is his character. That's what Paul is bringing here. We were deceived by Satan. We were deceived by Satan. That is our bondage. That is our bondage. The second reality of our unescapable bondage in the past is we were enslaved to our sinful desires. We were enslaved to our sinful desires. So what happens, no, sometimes? If we do sin, we blame whom? Satan. Because of him, I am doing this sin. He is tempting me, so I am doing sin. Actually, you need to understand, all human beings should understand, all were enslaved to our sinful desires. We are sinners. Our nature is sinful. That's why we are slave to various lusts and pleasures. Verse 3, he says, enslaved is present participle in Greek. The idea is you are continually serving your lusts and pleasures. Continually, ongoing state. Literal meaning of this word is serving the master as a slave. Enslaved means serving the master as a slave. You are slave to lusts and pleasures. That is our condition. We were serving as a slaves to our lusts and pleasures as our masters. The simple idea is, brothers and sisters, what Paul is saying here is, like, no, your pleasures, your lust are masters. Whatever your desire is saying, you are fulfilling. If your master says you do it, you are doing it. We need to understand, like, no, what Jesus says at the Bema said, good and faithful servant. But your lust and pleasures are saying good and faithful servant on the earth. Like, no, you are obeying completely. Whatever your lust and pleasures are commanding you, you are submitting, you are obeying to your lusts and pleasures. That is our condition. The lust here refers to great desire for something, craving for something which is against God. These are sinful desires. All desires outside of God are sinful. Even this proves our total depravity. And he says about pleasures, the pleasures of the world, pleasures of the life. It is talking about unlawful criminal desires. This is our condition. Even Luke 8:14 says, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. As they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. So some people, they are not fruitful because they are worried about their life. They are seeking after luxuries, like, no, pleasures and sinful desires. Brothers and sisters, this was our condition before God saved us. We know after salvation, we serve, try to serve God by pleasing him, desiring what he desires, wanting what he wills. That is happening, praise God, but before we were not doing that. We are not pleasing God, we are not serving God, just we are serving our lust and pleasures. And fourth thing of our past life proves our total depravity and our need for salvation is our unloving lifestyle. Our unloving lifestyle. Look at verse 3, part B says, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. This is also called our broken relationship. A broken relationship before our salvation. Four unloving lifestyle we have. The first unloving lifestyle we have is wishing others evil. Look at the word malice. It is talking about wishing others evil. We are desiring someone should face hardship. And second unloving lifestyle is hating, having jealousy of others. It says envy, right? Someone says that malice is wishing people evil, while envy is feeling bitter about their good. Like, no, somebody has good, you have bitterness. That is called envy. Another word, another unloving lifestyle is hated by others. Hateful, hated by others. What happens, no? We are being hated by others. That is our situation because of our sinful nature. then hating others also. Being hated by others and hating others. This was our condition, our unloving lifestyle. All are in this condition. It includes educated men, uneducated men, unethical men, rich and poor, even white skin, black skin, no difference, and deaf or mute, handicapped, healthy men, Bollywood stars to Hollywood stars. Everybody. Businessmen to beggars. All in this condition. Scientists to and security in the office. Doctors to dons in the world. Policemen to watchmen. All people in all nations, all of them are in this condition. There is no difference. Don't say that I am out of this box. If you are a human being, you are under total depravity. You cannot love God. You cannot please God. Just you please your desires. Even Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All. It does not say that some. All. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. So that was our condition. That's why I put necessity of our salvation. Why we need salvation? Because of our total depravity. Because of our sinful condition. We cannot please God. But interesting verse we can see here. Verse 4. It starts with but. Can you see that? Verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. The important verb we can see here, verse 5, He saved us. Can you see that? But you are in this condition, but God saved us. But God saved you. That's why I put the amazing salvation, amazing truth that God saved us. That leads us to the second truth that causes us to be amazed at his salvation is the author of salvation. We need to understand who is the author of salvation. Who is the source? Who is the source? Some people think themselves they earned salvation. They work hard to gain salvation. They are doing so much work to gain salvation. But Paul is saying here, you cannot save yourselves. You cannot save yourselves. God saved you. God saved you. The author of salvation, God the Father. Look at verse 4 and 5, very clear. Paul says that the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love he mentions. And he says he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. All our righteous acts, righteous deeds are filthy rags, right? God cannot be pleased by our deeds and works. No one will go to heaven by his works, by his deeds, by God. God alone, God the Father, he saves. He is the author of our salvation. Here we have three things that prove God is the author of salvation. Why you can say God is the author of salvation? Look at the text. Three things that prove God is the author of salvation. The first thing that proves God is the author of salvation is, look at his name. His name in this verse, verse 4. When the kindness and affection of God, our Savior. Did you see that? Our Savior. God, our Savior. That is his name. Paul called him God, our Savior. He did not call God the powerful one. He says, God, our Savior. Look at his name. Why he is the author of salvation? He is the author of salvation because God is our Savior. That is his name. That is his name. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Titus chapter 1 verse 3 says, God our Savior. Titus chapter 2 verse 10 says, God our Savior. God is our Savior. God is our Savior. That's why He is the author of our salvation. Not human beings, not Vijay, not anybody else on the earth. God is the author of salvation. His name itself declares that He is the author of salvation. The second thing that proves God is the author of our salvation is His actions. His actions. Here we have two actions of God. The first action of God is He has sent His Son. He has sent His Son. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. Very clearly, carefully. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared. Can you see kindness? Can you see love? Did you see any time kindness, love? Did you see? No, right? So you need to say no. I'm expecting that from you. So here what text is saying here, very clearly, when the kindness of God, our Savior, His love for mankind appeared. So what He is saying, no, we can see. We can see His kindness. We can see His love. God made visible His kindness and His love. We can see His kindness. We can see His love. That's what He is saying. The same verb is used in Titus chapter 2. Please look at chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Which says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Again here, grace of God appeared. Kindness of God, love of God appeared. It shows something else. How we can see kindness of God, love of God, grace of God? There is only one way. That is through Lord Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus Christ on the earth, when Jesus became man on the earth, people are watching. People are seeing the kindness of God, the love of God, and grace of God. Before, they did not see. Just they know about God is kind, God is gracious, God is love. When they have seen Jesus Christ on the earth, what happened? They are seeing kindness of God with proof. That's why I said the first action of God is He has sent His Son. He has sent His Son. The grace of God appeared through Christ's incarnation. Kindness of God, His love for mankind appeared through Christ's incarnation. We know that God sent His Son. God's action that sending His Son to save us proves He is our Savior. Why did He send His Son? To save us from our sin. That leads us to second action of God. The second action of God is He has saved us through His Son. He has sent His Son. He has saved us through His Son. Look at verse 5. He saved us. The meaning of the verb saved is to rescue or to deliver, to preserve. He saved us from our sins. You can't see God's saving work without Jesus Christ. Jesus is our propitiation for our sins. Jesus is our sins bearer. Jesus takes away the sins of the world. God saved us through the life and death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why 1 John chapter 4 verse 14 says, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. God the Father is the author of our salvation. No one else. For that He has sent His Son. He has saved us through His Son. That leads us to the third thing that proves God is the author of our salvation is His attributes. The first thing is Repeat with me, his name. Second thing, his actions. Two actions we have seen. Third thing, his attributes. When you look at carefully who is God, his attributes, you can understand very clearly. You can declare loudly that God the Father is our Savior. He is the author of our salvation. Here we have four attributes of God are the sources of our salvation. The first attribute of God is his kindness. His kindness. Look at verse 4. When the kindness of God, the word kindness is nothing but his goodness. It refers to quality of being helpful or beneficial and generous. Kindness proves good for people. It refers to God's gracious attitude towards us. Our God is helpful, beneficial to sinners like you and me. He wants to help us. Why? All of us were in the sins. We were dead in our trespasses. We cannot make ourselves alive. We cannot seek him. So God initiated because of his kindness to help us, to deliver us from our sins. The spiritual blessing of kindness of God is repentance. Do you know that? Because of his kindness, all of us repented from our sins. Romans chapter 2 verse 4, which says, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? The kindness of God leads you to repentance. Who did repent in this hall? Did anyone repent in this hall any time? Did you repent or not? Yes, right? You repented because of his kindness. You know that? But we think, no, I recognized my sinful nature. I understood my bad situation. I am against God. So I am repenting. Don't think that. All of us repenting of our sins because of his kindness. Because he's generous. He wants to help you to come out of that situation. He is being kind to you. Because of his kindness, you repented of your sins. Do you know that? Recognize that. That's why he is the author of salvation. Don't boast yourself even in your repentance. Don't boast. No one should boast about anybody, about himself because of repentance also. God is glorified even through your repentance. Because he's kind, he gave that heart to repent of your sins. I know that when young men, anybody who's taking baptism, they cry a lot, right? I was a sinner. They were crying. They are repenting of their sins. Why they are doing that? The answer is here. Because of his kindness. Because of his kindness. He initiated saving work, not we, brothers and sisters. We should not boast about ourselves. Paul says in Romans 2 verse 4 that riches of his kindness, he is rich in his kindness, so he gave the opportunity, he gave heart to repent of your sins. God shows his kindness toward us in Christ alone. According to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 7 says, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know that? God somehow looks like partial. He has partiality in good sense. So whom he is giving kindness? Those who believe in Lord Jesus Christ. Those who run to Jesus Christ. Those who reject Jesus Christ. Those who reject Jesus Christ. Those who say that I don't want Jesus Christ. God is not showing kindness towards them. So in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, he gave grace. And also we need to remember, no one will go to heaven with ourselves, by our strength. through Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way and truth and life, right? In Jesus Christ, he shows his kindness. It refers to God's gracious attitude towards sinners in Christ and through Christ. That leads us. Have you experienced God's kindness anytime? Whenever you are repenting, know that you need to remember God is showing his kindness towards you. Note this point forever and ever. Whenever you are repenting, God is showing kindness. He is kind towards you. That's why you are repenting of your sin. Whenever you experience his kindness, no, you need to understand because of our Lord Jesus Christ. That leads us to the second attribute of God, which is one of the sources of our salvation, his love. The second attribute of God is his love. Look at verse 4, says, but the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared. His love for mankind is one Greek word. The idea is the love for men, the human, affectionate concern for and interest in humanity. The idea is affection. Even LSB translated like this. It says the kindness and affection of God. Here love is not agape, it is affection. It is affection. Paul says that God has affectionate concern, love for all human races who are dead in their transgression, who are not responding to him and obeying him, who are hating him. Those who are hating him, he is showing concern, affectionate concern, love for them. But I want to understand, this word's meaning, I want to give you two references from Paul's life. The first reference from Paul's life is Acts chapter 27, verse 3. If you are able, please turn Acts chapter 27, verse 3. We need to understand how this word is used in the Bible. Acts chapter 27, verse 3 says, the next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul with consideration and allowed him to go to his friends and receive care. It's like, no, receive care. The Julius treated Paul with consideration, allowed him to go to his friends and receive care. This is the action. Like, no, what? Paul may receive care and concern from his friend. Julius treated Paul with consideration. The same thing. The centurion Julius treated Paul kindly. The centurion showed concern for Paul so that Paul could meet his friends and receive care. The same idea is used here. God has shown his affectionate concern for us so that we may meet Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, receive care from him. When Paul used this word, he meant in this way. What God has done here, he showed affection, concern, so that we may meet Lord Jesus Christ. The second reference from Paul's life is Acts chapter 28, verse 1 and 2 says, when they had been brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us extraordinary kindness. The same word used. Here, love, extraordinary kindness. For because of the rain that they had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. What was the action of island people, Malta? What they have done? They have received. They have showed us extraordinary kindness. The same word used here, love, affection. Extraordinary kindness. The native of Malta island showed unusual kindness, love, concern for Paul and other shipwreck sailors. They kindled the fire and received us all, refers to their hospitality. hospitality. So what Paul is saying here, God has affection, concern, extraordinary kindness towards you. That is his love. That is his love. What happened after he showed his kindness? He opened his home, right? That is heaven. He showed loving kindness, concern for human beings in Christ, because all of them were dead in their sins. They were under judgment of his wrath. Brothers and sisters, the natives of Malta kindled fire to remove the cold for Paul and his companions. But God killed his son to remove the condemnation which is upon us. The natives of Malta showed extraordinary loving kindness. Then God would have showed us double extraordinary loving kindness, astonishing love. God opens his home to wretched sinners like you and me. What Paul is saying here is that his kindness and his love for mankind appeared in birth and life and resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. What happened? No, you are out of heaven, right? There is no place in heaven. But what happened? God opened the door to you. That is his love. That is his concern for you and me. In our school days, especially when I was in seventh class, what happened? Staff, teachers will stay with us. Like, no? Classroom and staff room is one. While we are listening to the teaching, what happens, no? Another teacher is eating some lunch, like chicken and dal, something else. Like, no, we were listening. Like, no, you are students, I am teacher. Backside, another teacher is eating some lunch because he wants to go early, he wants to take class. But what happened, no? We will smell good food, right? Usually, teachers bring nice food, right? Because they get good salary. They can bring good food. So what happened, no? We were thinking, hey, this time you should call me. What happened, no? Sometimes the wives of teachers, they give more food to them. They were not able to eat. That time they call. Vijay, you come. Then, next time, Joel, you come. Next time, Gilbert, you come. Like, no, one by one they will call. They give opportunity day by day. They choose different students. No, we will sit there. We are waiting for our name to be called by teachers for that food. And sometimes what happened, by God's grace, they will call Vijay also. So I take that food, I eat like anything. Wow, tasty food. So why I'm telling this story, you know, you are laughing. So much privilege, right? Eating teacher's food, visiting teacher's home, sitting beside professors and eating with them, and so much privilege we feel, right? But what God has done, do you know, brothers and sisters? You deserve hell. All of you, including me, all of you deserve hell. But what happened? God showed kindness. God showed affection, love. What happened? He opened his home. Come, sit with me. Have dinner with me. Have feast with me. Experience my love. Small things, eating a teacher's lunch box is such a privilege for student. But wretched sinner like you and me, God opened his home. He showed hospitality. What a great God we have in Lord Jesus Christ. God is the author of our salvation. And we have remaining two attributes. It will be continued, God willing. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us who we are, what kind of sinful beings we are. Thank you, Lord, for reminding that you saved us not according to our works, our deeds, just because of your kindness and love. What a great God. Lord, we should not stay with you. We deserve hell. But because of your mercy, because of your love, you opened home for us. to stay with you forever and ever by grace. Just we adore you, Lord. Just help us, each and every one of us in this hall. Help Cornerstone Community Church to remember that you gave amazing salvation. And help us to honor your name. Be thankful to you forever and ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.